One of the most common topics of discussion for me as a priest with other folks has to do with reading the Bible. It can be difficult to know how to read the Bible, this document that was written so long ago for a people that can seem very distant from us, very far away from us modern-day humans. So what do these words written so long ago mean to us now? This is, one could argue, the task of the preacher on Sunday mornings, but it's also the task of each one of us each day. And it is the task that the book of Deuteronomy was concerned with as well. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, who had brought them from slavery in Egypt into wilderness, into wandering, stands with them at the edge of a new land, a land to which they had never been, but had been promised. And in a pause of the action, Moses delivers three speeches to the people. In other words, Deuteronomy recognizes that there is historical distance between the past and the present. Moses' words ask the people to remember the laws that they know, even as they go forward into something new and different. Moses says, "But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Moses seems to know what we can see throughout human history, that just because a people say that they follow God once does not mean that they will always follow God. That people get distracted, that time has a way of letting us drift slowly off course. That memory of fidelity to God grows dim as comfort and privilege in new lands grow. And it seems that we are at a time in our church, at a time in our country, when these words of Moses are needed more than ever, when the distance between the past we thought we knew and the present we now behold seems a chasm too great to bridge. One of my favorite preachers, the Reverend Frank Wade, once said that the answer to whether or not America is a Christian nation doesn't lie in the words of its founders, but rather in the lives of its people. The answer to whether or not America is a Christian nation is not found in the words of its founders, but in the lives of its people. What will our answer be? Who will we be as Americans, as Christians, as people of faith living in a country divided? To be, as our reading from James says, doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive ourselves. Before we go too in depth in this, I realize that I forgot to invite the children back for a story. In case they do not wish to hear more about being doers of the word, Debbie is going to lead them in a story. Better late than never. And so in answer to this question, our opening prayer that we read today, called our collect, which collects the themes of the day each week for us, asks God for four things. Ask God to graft in our hearts the love of your name, to increase in us true religion, to nourish us with all goodness, and to bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Let us sit with the first two. to have the love of God's name grafted in our hearts, and to increase in us true religion. For those of you who have seen a plant that has another plant grafted onto it, perhaps you can visualize this as well. What is interesting to me about grafting, and trust me, I am no expert in this, but from what I understand, the reason that another plant might be grafted onto one has to do with questions of resiliency, of strength, of being able to perhaps combat a new climate or a new infestation that it has prior to this not been used to. And so this new plant, by being grafted on to the original plant, both are made stronger through this process. But what's interesting is that you can still see the original plant. It's still there. But what has come to grow with it and to make it new and stronger and more resilient in our colic today is this love of God. It asks us to open ourselves, to have God graft onto our hearts so that who we are and what we are is still there, it is still visible, but we are strengthened. We are better able to face the challenges that this new climate brings us. Perhaps alone the plant was prone to disease, to insects, even to death. But this new graft, it is transformed and it is stronger. And so this question then for us today regarding the love of God grafted into our lives and our hearts, the question we must ask ourselves, are we in love with God? And I ask this as a real question, and one whose answer I put no judgment on. Every week, people come to our churches for a myriad of reasons, and God works holiness and goodness through all of those reasons. And my hope, my prayer for all those people is that when they are here amongst us, they can feel that love of God. Feel that love which draws them ever closer, which yearns to know them. Because worship feeds me, yes, and being in community is wonderful most of the time, but all of these things are merely vehicles. They're not the end. The end is the love of God. And so if our people are not falling in love with God week after week, we have to ask ourselves, what is really going on? In our gospel today, Jesus warns us what happens when we mistake human constructs for divine presence. Quoting Isaiah, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." In other words, the worship, the law, is not the end. The love of God is our end, and we confuse the two at our peril. Will we allow the love of God to be grafted into our own hearts? Will we allow ourselves to fall in love with God? And to have, as the second thing our collect asks for, to have true religion grow from that place of love, the roots of which are God. This is a prayer that requires something of each and every one of us. Our collect next asks God to nourish us with all goodness. After all, the plant does not exist alone. The plant exists in soil, under sunlight, The plant draws nutrients and nourishment from all the things that are around it. Accepting and celebrating the goodness which is all around us is what our prayer asks of us today. This fuel for growth, for deepening, for the living. In our workshop on evangelism last week with the leadership of St. Mark's, our facilitator asked us to tell one another the stories of why we love St. Mark's. He said that he was making the assumption that because we had given up 2 hours on our Sunday afternoon, that there must be something that drove us there. There must be some reason that kept us coming back to this place. And as I listened to those around us, to people sharing stories of this community loving them through deaths, through divorces, through pains and sorrows, there was so much goodness and nourishment in this place. And this is what fuels our growth, deepens our roots, and opens us to the bounty of love. Lastly, our collect asks God to bring forth in us the fruit of good works. The growth of the plant is not merely for itself. Love, true religion, and goodness, all of these things are bound to become selfish if they always turn inward. They're bound to become petrified hopes if they remain in us locked in these beautiful buildings. Brothers and sisters, I believe that the world is literally dying for the lack of our witness. For a Christianity so grafted and grounded in the love of God that it literally cannot act without that as its root. This might sound hyperbolic, but I really, really believe it. That our country, that our church, that our community needs your witness. Needs your life, needs your life transformed by love. As Moses says to a people on the edge of a new and strange land, take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind. It seems that the past has much to say to us in the present, and the interpretive task of figuring out what that means lies with each one of us day after day. The answer to what kind of country, what kind of church, what kind of people we are doesn't lie in the words of our founders or even in the words of our politicians. But in the lives and the love of each and every one of us now, today, here. May it be an answer grafted in love. And so I leave you today with our collect. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.